I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're looking at marijuana legalization from a number of different angles. Lizzie Post is co-president of the Emily Post Institute and co-host of the Awesome Etiquette podcast. She writes a column on etiquette for a women's cannabis magazine called Broccoli, and she's here now to talk about how these two things go together, marijuana and etiquette. Lizzie Post, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Hi, Jane, to put a pun on it.
So this is something that you've actually been thinking about and writing about for a while. This is not a new concept to you.
This is not new. We've been approached at the Emily Post Institute to talk about it for a number of years now. Actually, did some of my first interviews up in Canada with the CBC. Almost did a column with the cannabist out in Denver. But it really is when legalization occurs and this becomes an option for anyone in a particular state, and we know it's not federally legal, but that's going to change your social dynamics and your social interactions. And that's where we as the Emily Post Institute come in and say, hey, etiquette, don't forget the etiquette.
And the other people who work at the Emily Post Institute were like, oh God, please don't tackle this topic.
No, it was all in favor. The fourth generation was very supportive. They themselves were, I think, some of them were very excited. They said, you know, this is great. This is finally time. And my co-president is also in support of the venture. And, it's honestly, it has been so much fun. I spent the spring really spending some time in legalized states to better know the topic. And everyone just really comes at it with a sense of consideration and respect and honesty. And being that those are the three kind of principles of our etiquette, it really fits in.
Okay, so give me sort of the overarching principle here. And, you know, that sort of seems pretty obvious. But again, this is a new thing for a lot of people in terms of legalization and what's appropriate and what's not. And just because something is legal doesn't mean it's, you know, you should be doing it around other people, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So how should we just sort of in an overarching way think about this?
In Vermont, we're talking about personal use at home on private property. So let's start there. Is your house a 420 friendly home? This is something, Jane, that you and I as homeowners, I'm assuming, get to decide for ourselves. And we get to decide just like we would with alcohol or cigarettes. And then as consumers, if you do consume cannabis, you need to be aware of that when you're walking into someone's home. It doesn't just mean that you can light up a joint inside or outside, for that matter. Just the same way you wouldn't bring a bottle of wine to a new friend's home if you weren't sure yet if they consumed alcohol.
So not only that, but if you are the owner of the home or the resident, mm-hmm. can you just throw up a dinner party and have cannabis around and be smoking in front of your friends without knowing whether the people who are guests in your home?
That's a great point. I think it's really nice during this transitional juncture that we're at to be open with your friends. This is something that a lot of people have been told they need to feel shame about. It's things that they've had to hide from other people in their life, and they're finally being able to be open about it. And there needs to be consideration on their part, too, to say, hey, Jane, I just want you to know, coming over for dinner, this is going to be a 420 friendly evening, or I know some of my friends are going to be smoking cannabis in the backyard. You're free to join them or not. I just want you to know so that you're comfortable either way or could choose to come or not come. My editor at Broccoli, who does not consume cannabis, made a really good point when we were talking about this, where she said, you know, people worry about whether they should invite me to the party because I don't consume cannabis. And she said, I liken it to, you know, if you're going to have a whiskey or bourbon tasting, and I'm not a whiskey or bourbon gal, you're not going to invite me to that party probably, or you're going to let me know that that's the main event of the party. Some houses are going to be any night you're welcome to light up outside or to vape outside or vape inside, depending on what we're consuming. Other houses, it's going to be this particular night. It'll be a part of the agenda, and other nights it won't. So communication is the key from an etiquette standpoint.
You know, more and more when there is food that's shared, whether it's at a dinner party or any other kind of social gathering, you'll see somewhere nearby a note that says, by the way, this contains nuts. Or this is gluten-free, or, you know, any number of things that people might want to know about what's in their food. Probably safe to say even more so you should be doing that if there's marijuana in an edible thing.
It's not even a question. It is an imperative. It is so incredibly important. Your body metabolizes cannabis differently than if you're inhaling it. You heard our last guest talk about the Delta 9. When it's in the liver and it's metabolizing, it turns into a much smaller molecule called an 11-hydroxy THC. And that goes through your blood-brain barrier much easier than that bigger, clunkier Delta 9. At least this is what I've been taught by the scientists who've helped me. And it really makes a difference to how you're going to experience that high. We also were just talking about you can't test a lot of the homemade edibles that we're making. You have very hard to figure out exactly what that dosage is unless you're doing a lot of the math on the early side and you know the cannabis that you're starting with and what its percentages are. So edibles, I mean, you want them served on a completely different table. You want it really well recognized. They shouldn't look like other food, you know, like make your brownies into circles instead of squares if we want to, you know, do as much as you can, and everything should have a label. One of the things that you can start with here, because we don't have a regulation system that tells us what cannabinoids and terpenes are in the products that we're engaging with, it's really nice to describe the effects you feel off this cannabis. So
you personally, yeah, like, as the person who made
it. If I made brownies and brought them to your dinner party because mm-hmm. you said that was okay or you'd asked me to bring them, I would say, so I made them with a strain that makes me feel like this. Another strain that a lot of people have really often engaged with makes me feel like this, so that they get some kind of a comparison they can understand. Cannabis does not affect everyone the same way.
Do you still need to make a gluten-free version too?
I think so. Why not, right?
Stephen, is it calling in from Jericho? Hi, Stephen. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane and your guest. I was at the event in Johnson yesterday, and I just wanted to let your reporter know that I actually brought home two young ladies that came with dirt that I bought. I bought two cups of dirt, and they happen to have two varieties of female sativa plants.
So there was bartering or selling of dirt that came along with plants going on at the Heady Vermont gathering yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah, among other things that you could buy and create. What we're facing is the same situation that Maine is dealing with now. Since the legislature failed to pass tax and regulate, we now have a barter exchange, a gifting exchange that's spawning. In Maine, you can buy a bottle of tea, and it comes with an ounce of marijuana for $150, $200. So you buy the tea, and you get a gift. And yesterday, there were vendors that you bought this little lip balm, and with it came this pre-rolled joint.
Yeah, Stephen, I see where you're going, and let me bring this to Lizzie because, you know, part of what Stephen's talking about is the fact that we don't have commercialization of marijuana, and so this is going to create likely some situations that are trying to get around that for people who are interested in selling or interested in buying. But it also brings up this idea that, you know, that there is a sense that there's a culture of sharing surrounding marijuana and not necessarily a sense of this is mine, you don't get to have it. So how do you deal with that sort of sharing nature?
Well, two different things. One, just the sharing nature of the cannabis culture is one of the reasons why it's so ripe for etiquette, and it's had its own etiquette from the beginning. But what I do love about the system that we have here, for kind of as confusing as it is, it does allow for people to share this experience with each other. You can come to my house, and when, you know, together we can do this, or I can give you, I think it's up to an ounce is giftable. And so Jane's nodding. Thank you. It's going to be a part of the exchange. And it does raise the question that you brought up, Jane, which is hostess gifts, even celebratory gifts. Out in Oregon, I know of a lot of folks who do a lot of big, like really special strains or a large quantity, as for instance, a wedding gift to a couple, or maybe some really special plants will become a gift. These are all options Vermonters can now engage with because of the barter and exchange system that our caller was talking about. One of the things I'm excited for is to see how, much like in California and Oregon and Colorado, sort of more activity-based things come about. And so you might have a cannabis yoga class where you are it's just simply known that you will be showing up, of course, having someone else drive you, who's a sober driver, to the class, or where you're able to consume on-site before or during or after the class, and it's a part of the experience. They're not selling the cannabis, but as a private location, they're providing you the space. It's been fascinating from an invitation and get your friends to go to group events kind of etiquette perspective for me to explore that area. And I think people are having a lot of fun figuring it out and realizing there are so many ways to connect over cannabis.
You say, of course, getting a sober driver.
Yeah.
And legally speaking, that is a requirement.
Yes.
In the same way that it is if you're going to imbibe alcohol.
Exactly.
and have a certain amount. But we know that there is a culture in Vermont of
Yes.
drinking and driving. And I don't by any means need to suggest that everybody does that. And legally, it's illegal.
Right.
But how do we sort of approach that question of the cultural idea that, you know, it's okay to have a little bit and then drive as
Right.
we do with alcohol?
And we don't have a measuring stick right now to work with to try to figure this out. And like we said earlier, people are going to react to different strains, different ways, different times of day, different chemical makeup in their own body will change it. And so I think that one of the things that I was so impressed with when I spoke to people who live in states that have been years legalized now was how focused they were on arranging for transportation and allowing folks to stay the night, especially if you are talking about serving people infused dinners. It was just wonderful to see how responsible people were about it. They said, oh no, we just take everyone's keys so that they don't just get high and then drive home. Like, you know, forget and drive home.
It's, you're painting a very rosy picture, though.
I am.
And, you know, you and I have both been in high school and elsewhere. I mean, I knew kids who drove stoned all the time in high school.
Sure. But is that the etiquette interview we're trying to have today?
Well, no, because... but in terms of, you know, realism and culture, you know, how do you get to the point where you're changing culture?
The point where I get to is as a speaker and a provider of etiquette advice. Now in a state where it's legal, it's important to add this to your plans. If you are choosing to go somewhere where you're going to be getting high or choosing to provide cannabis for your guests or offer it to your guests. So that's the etiquette point of it.
Let's go to Nicholas calling in from St. Albans. Hi, Nicholas. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks very much for taking my call and, you know, and talking about this subject. In terms of etiquette and things like that, I hope, and one of the things that this conversation today made me think of, it's just my hope that we're not going to throw a blanket statement on marijuana in the sense that we'll treat it the same way as, say, we do alcohol. I do firmly believe that there's a huge, huge difference, and just talking about etiquette today kind of made me think of it. This is, the host had said, how do we change the circumstances? And I think we're doing it right now legislatively is the way that you change circumstances. And along with etiquette, you know, we do have to kind of consider civil discourse, civil law, and things like that. And there are a lot of issues. And I just hope that we take a realistic approach to it rather than maybe a fear approach to it.
Well, Nicholas, I appreciate your call and that perspective. And Lizzie, he brings up a good point, which is this is newly legal. So there are ways to sort of change the way things are done in the state as legalization helps shape things. I brought up that question of intergenerational and family dynamics. And
yeah.
Certainly once something is legal, maybe you don't feel a prohibition in your own family, but you still have to be respectful of other family members, right?
It is so key. And one of the most important things for us to remember as we as a state learn and grow with this is that respecting each other's perspectives is really important. And just because your perspective is different from mine doesn't mean you are out to harm me.
That's Lizzie Post, co-president of the Emily Post Institute and co-host of the Awesome Etiquette podcast. And she writes a column on etiquette for a women's cannabis magazine called Broccoli. Lizzie, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.